Welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you for using our CLEDAUBC.com website. I'd like to ask you to encourage others to visit and get a little truth and hope from here. We also have our Facebook page, CLEDA United Brethren in Christ Church, that you could visit, follow, feed. So, this morning, we're going to continue our walk through the book of Acts and search for what we hope to find, this new life in the Holy Spirit. Today is April 19th of 2020. The Holy Spirit and the Gentiles is what I entitled my message. If you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, that's where we're going to be this morning. So my three-point outline, the Holy Spirit and the Gentiles. Number one, the lives of Peter and Cornelius. Number two, the pattern God used with the Jews first, then with us Gentiles second. And number three, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. So Good Friday and Easter were very different this year. Yet among that, the message and the effect or the impact was the same. This week, I want you to try to think in sets of two. Sets of two. Dust off those old math teachings in your mind, and as you're retrieving those data files, in my life I've experienced and encountered people who are groups of people who believe and teach others this idea and this theology. God does things in a certain pattern, period. God has to do things this way, period. Some go so far as to say God cannot do anything different. Today I want us to look at or into two men's lives, Peter and Cornelius. Then the pattern God used first with the Jews and then with us Gentiles. These two men are very different, and God's two patterns are very different. Yet, there are some things that are the same. The things that are the same seem to have value for you and I. So as we look in on God's grand drama this morning, we see God doing something new and different. It's no wonder we first called him Creator before anything else. While Peter is still preaching, before he can get to an altar call or a decision point for these people, the Holy Spirit enters in his full effects. Cornelius and his family and his friends experience this life in the Spirit this way. This is it. A holy God opens his heart and he pours out onto and into us Gentiles. This morning I'm going to read from the NIV version of the Bible, and I'm going to read Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even these Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That's the end of our passage. So our outline, the Holy Spirit and the Gentiles, point number one, the lives of Peter and Cornelius. What do we know about Peter? What do we know about Cornelius? A on your outline, Peter was married and was a fisherman. So A is Peter was married and a fisherman. So I underlined married and fisherman. He was a blue-collar, second-shift worker with his brother Andrew. How they do that or did that in that day was, in the evening, just after sunset, they would go out on the boat onto the lake, and when it got dark, they would strip down to no clothes whatsoever and usually no sandals, so they're completely naked, and they lower a net into the water. And then they put a lamp on a stick over the side of the boat, over the net. Then they watch in the light of the net to see what fish gather to check the light out, and then they pull the net into their boat and retrieve the fish from the net. So, in the world we live in today, we would say Peter and Andrew are small business owners. They would probably be filing for one of the small business loans to keep their business afloat in the COVID mess that we're in. So, Peter and Andrew are the first link in a food chain of supply and demand. So, fresh fish to the market each morning. That is, if they catch them. Peter made his living by the sweat and hard work of his body each day. He probably had broad shoulders and rough, calloused hands. The weight of pulling in these nets full of fish would strengthen your upper body, and obviously that much time in the water and working with nets and fish, your hands would be rough and calloused. Peter lived in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. Peter owned a boat. He wore a sword, but his was a concealed carry weapon. Peter was a Jewish fisherman who turned from that life to be a preacher. The only relationship data the Bible gives us on Peter is that Andrew, his brother, literally brought him to Jesus. And Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's all the relational data we have on him. My honest appraisal is he is probably self-sufficient, probably what we would call a loner, independent, strong-willed, rugged, not voted the most popular man. Peter said things and he did things that got him into trouble. But Peter had faith and got out and got to walk on water on the lake for a short distance. So Peter and Cornelius are very different people. Cornelius, on the other hand, was wealthy. He was a Gentile. He was a military man. Cornelius wore a sword. His sword was out in the open for all to see and rather intimidating. Today, Cornelius would be a captain in the Army's response to the COVID-19 event. But he would be dressed like one of our SWAT team people. Helmet, armor, sword, knife. So Cornelius was a government employee. He was a leader of a Roman's peacekeeping force. That was what his job was. Cornelius was popular, well-liked. He lived politically correct and probably was an Italian politician. But God's plan included both of them. Which personality type would you identify with? The loner or the most popular? One to be quick to speak and act without calculations or forethought? Or the one that's always planning and calculating and trying to be the most popular person. In Cornelius' house that day, a new chapter in Christian history was written as a Jewish Christian leader and a Gentile Christian convert discovered something significant about God at work in the other person. Cornelius needed Peter and his gospel to know the way to salvation. Peter needed Cornelius and his salvation to experience and know that the Gentiles were included in God's plan. You and another believer may need each other. You could help each other to understand how God works and is working today. God's kingdom is a family business. one where the community is stronger than any of its member parts. That thought may be the one good thing of the COVID-19. There is a sense of community, a coming together, a common good. As I watch television, I'm almost tired of the tagline, "We're all in this together." But it is bringing us together in a unique way. So back to our outline. B. Cornelius was married, a centurion, and popular. Cornelius was married, a centurion, and popular. He was a Roman citizen, and he was a great government employee. Cornelius was a Gentile we could learn from. Several things. First, he actively sought God. Cornelius had a pattern in his life and in his heart to actively seek God. Second, he revered God. He respected God. He was a God-fearing man, they said. Third, he was generous in meeting other people's need. So he was a good giver. Fourth, he prayed. Cornelius was a man of prayer. Fifth, he responded to God and encouraged his family to do the same. So not only did he seek God, revere God, and respond to God, he encouraged his family to do so, which gives me point number six. Cornelius was a good, faithful leader at home and at work. Cornelius and his family were devout and God-fearing. They gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Cornelius was righteous, a God-fearing man, who was respected by all the Jewish people. See on your outline. Cornelius and Peter were men who prayed. Cornelius and Peter were men who prayed. I underlined prayed. Let me try to illustrate that with something in my life. I accidentally bought a Harley Davidson from Kirby Rogers. She acquired the name Pearl because her paint is black pearl. She has an older sister named Champagne. Champagne is a German ballerina motorcycle. I asked Kirby, "How old's the battery?" He had no idea. When I store my bikes for the winter, they're indoors, they're cleaned, and they have nice covers that go over them. And then they have a battery tender plugged into them, so that when the first nice days of spring come, they can come right out of hibernation ready. Now, a battery tender intuitively senses when there's a need for electrical input, and then it adds a charge. Somehow it realizes when the battery loses electricity and just adds some to keep it fully charged. This spring, we had some 70-degree days, and I got Pearl out for her first ride to roar through the barren countryside here. Prayer is our way of tapping into the source of God's power, which is essentially God Himself. Now, a Harley has a battery, which is simply stored up energy that enables the machine to function. The starter motor, the lights, and so on draw energy from that battery. My bike also has a generator that places energy drawn from the battery. If the generator doesn't function properly, the battery will soon go dead. Then, when you need the power to start the bike, you won't have any. There is nothing wrong with the rest of the mechanical equipment. The bike also has a cable connecting the battery to the bike's mechanism. If that cable is removed, or if it becomes corroded, the battery may still have power to spare, but the power is not transmitting to the working parts of the bike, so essentially the bike is powerless. All winter, Pearl's battery was plugged into an electrical power, so in the spring, she was fine. I went out to put her back in her warm winter storage when the weeks of weather started coming and the snow coming again. She wouldn't start. All the connections on the bike were correct, but she had not received any electrical input. If I had rode her every day, she would have been fine. Pearl simply has no power by which to function. Christians are like that. We expend spiritual energy in ministry, or we may sit too long without doing anything spiritually. We need to be actively exercising our spiritual giftings and restoring our power through prayer. The battery of Pearl was old and couldn't hold a charge. I had no idea. If I had rode her every day or plugged her into the tender, we would have been okay that day. We are like that old battery. If we go for a ride with God every day, we'll be fine. Or if we stay plugged into Him in prayer, we will be fine. For us to remain spiritually strong with energy that we need has to be replenished. If not, in a crisis moment, we will discover the power is gone. On the one hand, Jesus said that prayer is a generator that keeps our spiritual power constant. On the other hand, prayer is the cable that connects us to the omnipotent God. I was really surprised that I spelled omnipotent correctly the first time. So back to our outline. Point number one, the lives of Peter and Cornelius. Now let's look at point number two, the pattern God used with the Jews first, then with the Gentiles second. Jesus and His Holy Spirit came to the Jews first. God sent John the Baptist ahead of Jesus to prepare the way for the Savior. The whole group would have been Jews. It was a Jews only, for circumcised believers only group. That first pattern was to be baptized into repentance and set oneself apart from the traditional practices of the law. It was a public identification. Baptism was an act of public identification. So one was baptized with John, identifying with one's self in what they called the new way, eventually just became the way. Then later, if one believed in Jesus as their Christ, their Messiah, their Savior, then they were baptized into Christ. Then, at a later point in time, the Holy Spirit came with power and its effects, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, this was like a three-step process. A on your outline. One may repent, believe, and be baptized. One may repent, believe, and be baptized. And the three words I underlined were repent, believe, baptized. To repent and believe are internal things, but to be baptized is external. Jews thought, like many people today think, this first way is the only correct way to enter into Christ. And they may be correct. But this scripture causes me to have some questions. Then we get to our scripture today. What the Holy Spirit does here is not the same and does not fit with the past practice. Try to wrap your head around what's happening. Peter is explaining the good news of the gospel to a small group of Gentiles. While Peter is still preaching, before he can get to an altar call, or a point of decision for these people, the Holy Spirit enters in its full effects. Can you see this in your mind? So this was like an all-at-once process. This could be where well-meaning people in my life have taught me that when you're saved, you get everything at that moment. Cornelius and his family and friends experienced life in the Spirit this way. When the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out, it wasn't just a trickle. It was poured out on them in a lavish, extravagant way. Even as Peter was speaking, these things began to happen, and against which even the Jewish Christians could not argue, the Spirit came upon Cornelius and his friends. These Gentiles were lifted out of themselves into some form of an ecstasy. And they began to speak in tongues, speaking in languages they had not known before and praising God. One of the things about COVID's lockdown is you have time to watch TV, and I watched a Star Trek edition this week where Kirk and the Enterprise come up on this buoy in the middle of space, and it announces to them, don't pass this buoy. And the unique thing, and why I'm talking about it, is Mr. Spock heard it in Klingon. Miss Uhura heard it in Swahili. And the young German, Russian, heard it in Russian. Everybody heard it in their own language at the same time. And they were all astonished. That's what happened here with the Holy Spirit. They were not just speaking gibberish. They were speaking languages they had not known before and languages that were used in that world that time. This, to the Jews, was the final proof of an astonishing fact that God had given his spirit to the Gentiles too. Be on your outline. One may hear, receive, and be baptized. One may hear, receive, and be baptized. The three words I underlined were hear, receive, baptized. God is the only one who truly knows the first two, whether you're hearing it and receiving it. Baptized, everyone knows this. Everyone sees this. Being baptized in the Mediterranean Sea would have been a lot of fun. I've been there, and it would have been great for everybody to get into the ocean and be baptized. One note, this would have been done by all seven of the Jewish believers, not just Paul. So each one of the seven Jewish believers would have been baptizing these people in the Mediterranean Sea all at the same time. Not just Peter the preacher, but everyone was equipped to baptize. In this structure, these people were baptized after they received the Holy Spirit publicly, declaring their allegiance with Christ and identification with the Christian community. See on your outline. One is baptized as an outward testimony of an inward change. See, one is baptized as an outward testimony of an inward change. And I underline three words, baptized, outward, inward. Can you understand this? We in the West see this as a good thing and often not really that big of a deal. But for Cornelius and his family and Roman friends, this was a big deal. And this was a big problem for them. In many parts of the East, this is still a life-changing, a real fear of death, of disgrace, of rejection, of all one is known. Do you know people who have experienced this? Do you know anybody that when they were converted to Christianity, there was a real fear of death, disgrace, rejection from the family, and a loss of all one that had known before? I was not disowned by my family when I experienced believer's baptism, but I did experience a lot of rejection from my parents for my disowning of my Lutheran upbringing. I have neighbors who lost everything. When they came to the U.S. for an education and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and were baptized, they lost it all. Or one could say they gave it all up. But they lost all relationship with family. They were disowned. They lost all financial support from family, were taken out of the family inheritance, were disowned, and even were at the point of losing their visa and having no country whatsoever. Cornelius wanted Peter to stay with him for a few days. He was a new believer and realized his need for teaching and fellowship. Are you as eager to learn more of Christ and his Spirit? Are you, like Cornelius and his friends, hungry to learn? Do you realize your need to be with mature Christians and strive to learn from them? What could you and I learn from the Holy Spirit's activity here today? First, the gospel is for all people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people, all nations. Second, God reaches people who want to know him. God reaches out to people who honestly want to know him and seek him. Third, there are people everywhere that are eager to believe. I believe this COVID-19 fear is one of the best opportunities in our lifetime for people to be eager to believe and have hope in Jesus Christ. Fourth, when we're willing to seek the truth and be obedient to the light God gives, God will reward us richly. So if we're willing to seek the truth from honest, open hearts, and in an obedient life, see the light God has and respond to it, we could be rewarded richly. So point number three on your outline, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. This is it. The Holy Spirit falls on these people. It's poured out on these people with dynamic power. Have you experienced this? Have you experienced the Spirit being poured out on you with dramatic power in a dynamic way? As for me, not yet. A, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I underline the word heard. Think about it. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Is there a difference between hearing and listening? One day, Julie and I were in the van going someplace. I was driving, and she was talking to me about something that she thought was important. And when she asked me about it and asked me if I'd been listening, I had to honestly tell her, I heard a noise, but that was it. There was a noise coming from the right side of the van, but I really wasn't listening. And I asked her to forgive me and told her if she would run over it again, this time I would be listening. So what's the difference between hearing and listening? Do you think there is one? These people were listening, so they heard what God is saying. They were listening and they heard the intent God was saying through Peter. There are people who can hear much better than I can. My right ear never recovered from hundreds of thousands of M60 machine gun rounds exploding in my right ear. Literally, I fired hundreds of thousands of these 30 caliber rounds. Listening is a learned behavior. So, first thing, one needs to learn to focus on the other person speaking. One needs to get their eyes, their mind, their thoughts off of their self and be focused and listen to the other person speaking. Secondly, this is important, the person speaking is the authority of their message. It's their message. It's what they are trying to communicate. Many people who can hear better than I can are not focused on what the other person is saying. Their focus is different. But what they're going to respond with. Rather than listening, they're thinking of what they're going to say in response to the authority of the message. Often this response is to correct the person where they're wrong. The practice of making fun of the speaker has become quite popular now too. People who use these patterns do not look like Jesus. Paul's example of what Christ looked like in his humility is in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read to you Philippians 2, verses 1 through 7. And today I'm using the NIV version. Do you belong to Christ, it says? Does his life comfort you? Is the Holy Spirit your companion? Has Christ been gentle and loving toward you? Then make my joy complete by agreeing with each other. Have the same love. Be one in spirit and purpose. Don't do anything to get ahead. Don't do it because you're proud. Instead, be free of all pride. Think of others as better than ourselves. None of you should look out just for your own good. You should also look out for the good of others. To pause for a second, this may be the correct Corona 19 attitude. None of us should look out for our own good, but should also look out for the good of others. Staying socially distanced is helpful to others. And as we think about reopening our economy, many people lose sight of the fact that it's not about me and my money and my problems. It's really trying to think about others and the good of them. So if I jump back into Philippians 2, I'm at verse 5. You should think in the same way Christ Jesus does. In his very nature, he was God. He did not think that being equal with God was something he should hold on to. The end. Listening requires one to value the other person, more important than oneself. To really listen, you have to value the person speaking more important than yourself. Do you practice something like this? Cornelius and his friends did. This is not just a small group chat. This for them was a life and death conversion. And when they were baptized, it literally became a life and death problem with the Roman government. B on your outline. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be one with Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be one with Jesus. So I underline gives and one. From God's side, things are ready. But what about from our side? God gives the ability for us to become one with Jesus. But what about from our side? Cornelius and his people had their heart right. Peter had his heart in a good place that day too. God opened heaven and poured this Holy Spirit out on them. See on your outline. God is willing to work with all kinds of people. God is willing to work with all kinds of people. I underlined willing and kinds. It doesn't matter if you're like Peter or if you're more like Cornelius. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you on this day, we humbly seek your Spirit to come to us and embrace us in a way to be more willing to listen to your Spirit, to respond to him in repentance in our lives, to open our hearts to other people and to give to them generously, to diligently seek you and continue to seek you, to invest time in relationship with more mature believers, to help us to understand you, your ways, your great love, your amazing grace, your unbelievable, almost mercy for us. Humbly we fall on you today and beseech you to be gracious to us and our nation in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I are hungry for God? Are you hungry for Him?